ॐ जिनजमनन्दस्य जनजनशलकया चक्षुस्मिलताञ्जनथस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थपितां जिनभूतले सायं रूपकजा मायां ददति सा पदन्तिकम्। वंशकपटुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Prajapati Daksha has just completed the prayers to the Lord known as the Hansaguya prayers. And in these prayers, he prayed for the Lord to satisfy his desire. Basically, he had two desires. One was that the Lord appear before him. And second, in the Lord's service, he wanted to populate the universe. This was his order from Lord Brahma previously, and he was trying to fulfill that order. The prayers, the Hansaguya prayers that he offered, explained that the Lord was beyond. What is the Lord beyond? When we try to understand him by our own power, using the facilities that we have, our intelligence, our minds, whatever facilities we have, we will find out that he is beyond our capacity to understand. Because these, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, these facilities, these faculties, they are of the material nature. They are composed of the material nature. And the Lord, by definition, is the creator of matter. So therefore, he has existed before matter, and therefore he is also non-material. And so many examples were given how the living entity, like the sense objects, like taste or sound, like the sense objects cannot perceive the senses which are perceiving them. Similarly, we cannot perceive the Lord who is perceiving us. And although the sense objects are not conscious and we are conscious, still our consciousness cannot reach that Lord. If one uses his own ability to understand the Lord in this way, his intelligence, his senses, his mind, at most, by the Lord's grace, by Krishna's grace, one can understand that he is everywhere and everything, and nothing is separate from him. And one will conclude impersonally about the Lord. But then the Hansaguya prayers describe who can see him and how one can see him. One can see him when one's consciousness is purified. This is something that a scientist or a philosopher will not concede, that there has to be a cleansing of the consciousness. Just like if there is mud in water, and one is trying to see the bottom of the lake through that water, that mud will prohibit the seeing and will limit what one can see of the lake, of the bottom of the lake. But on the other hand, if that water is crystal clear, then one's visibility, what one can see, is so much greater, and it is uninhibited. So similarly, when our consciousness is clear, free from material contamination, then, as the Hansaguya prayers describe, then if we adopt a service attitude, bhakti, towards the Lord, then by His mercy, He will reveal Himself. Because He is beyond, unless He reveals Himself, He remains forever unknowable to us. And what, again, causes Him to show Himself to us? It is the service, the serving attitude. Not exactly the service, but the attitude of the attitude by which the service is done. And not just attitude and no service either. Devotional attitude, one serves. And Krishna, when he sees this, when he sees that a devotee is so interested in pleasing him because of the devotee's affection for him, then he naturally reciprocates. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maya tateshu chapyaham. So therefore, by bhakti, bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita, that through bhakti, only through bhakti, can I be understood as I am. So this is how these Hansaguya prayers are expressed by the great soul Prajapati Daksha. Although his desire, he calls for the Lord's mercy, and although his desire, it is tinged with matter, still he goes to the Lord to fulfill that desire. What use are the demigods, the devas, even though they are empowered by the Lord to fulfill material desires of the worshippers? The Lord himself is the source of their power. So what use, Daksha explains in these prayers, is there in worshipping the demigods? So he completes his prayers, and now we'll continue the Hansaguya prayers. He's completed that. Then text 35 through 39, the Lord was very pleased with these prayers offered by Daksha. So Sukadeva Goswami continues. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is extremely affectionate to his devotees, was very pleased by the prayers offered by Daksha. And thus, he, the Lord, appeared at the holy place known as Agamarshana. Agamarshana means the place where all sins are destroyed. O Maharaj Prakrit, because Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Prakrit, O Maharaj Prakrit, best of the Kuru dynasty, the Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier Garuda. This is how the Lord appeared. And he appeared with 8 long, mighty, very beautiful arms. In his hands he held a disc, conch shell, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and club. In each hand a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. His garments were yellow, and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful. And from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. His chest was decorated with a kastuba jewel and the mark of Srivats. On his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks, makar. All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Thus decorated by various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all the living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottam, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and all the principal demigods, led by the heavenly king Indra, and the residents of various upper planetary systems such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, and Charanaloka. situated on both sides of the Lord and behind him as well, these devotees offered him prayers continuously. So this is the Lord's glorious appearance, so beautiful, not alone, so powerful, surrounded by many demigods and great souls who glorified him. Rupam tan maharaischarjam vichakshagata sadvasa nama nanama dandavad bhuma. Fell to the ground, Daksha fell to the ground with offering obeisances, with dandavats. Parishtatma prajapati. Seeing that wonderful and effulgent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prajapati Daksha was first somewhat afraid. Why did he become afraid? It is somewhat natural. If one sees for the first time a very powerful personality, one doesn't know how to react. One feels some anxiety and fear. But on the other hand, just like if a great, very, very wealthy or famous person walked in, everyone would be a little awestruck. But yet, if that person, if his child sees him, the same person that we're seeing, but if his child sees him, there's no reverence at all. A little baby may even kick the parent, even though the parent is so powerful. Because the mind is different, because the child's mind is full of love, of intimacy. So when there is great intimacy, there is no fear at all. But Daksha didn't have that kind of relationship. He was asking, after all, for a benediction, that the Lord come and fulfill his desires, understanding the Lord was great and powerful, and that he needed that mercy of the Lord, the flowing, the downward waterfall of the benediction of the Lord's mercy. So he fell to the ground like a stick, to offer his respects to the Lord. As rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. Why? Because all his senses were filled with the Lord. He was seeing the Lord. He was hearing the prayers offered to the Lord. Everything was... he was filled. His consciousness was filled with this vision, this revelation of the Lord. So he was ecstatic. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not say anything, but simply remained flat on the ground. Prabhupada's purport, short purport. When one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is filled with complete happiness. Complete. Actually, at that time, we are complete. Right now, minus the Lord, we are incomplete and feeling incomplete. And we are searching for that thing that will make us feel complete. And that thing is not a thing, but he's a person, and he's the Lord. And that is the process of connecting with the Lord and becoming complete is called yoga. So complete happiness. For example, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord in his presence, he said, Swamin kritarto asmin varam na yache. My dear Lord, I have nothing to ask from you. Now I am completely satisfied. Because when we want something, that implies that we lack something. We don't have something. Incomplete. But when one has the Lord, one feels complete and one is satisfied. So when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he said, I have nothing to ask anymore. He prayed to the Lord for a great benediction. He wanted something, but when he saw the Lord, his desires were full. He was fulfilled. So Prabhupada's purport continues. Similarly, when Prajapati Daksha saw the Supreme Lord in his presence, He simply fell flat, unable to speak or ask him for anything. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotee prostrate in that manner and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. This is the Lord's reply to the Hansakuya prayers, and this will continue more or less to the end of the chapter. Prachetasa Mahabhaga Samsidas Tapasa Vavan Jashradaya Matparaya Mayi Bhavam Paramgata. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O most fortunate Prachetas. He was the son of the Prachetas, so it's also known as the Prachetas. Because of your great faith in me, because he had a material desire, and he was using that in the Lord's service, but he didn't go and try to do it by his own power. Rather, he performed austerities to gain the ability to do this, to propagate many children throughout the world. Performed austerities, and he took shelter of the Lord through prayers, having faith that the Lord, if he so desired, would fulfill his desire. Because of your great faith in me, because his consciousness was focused upon the Lord said, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities, combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. You have seen me. You've seen the Lord. This is the perfection of our existence. My dear Prajapati Daksha, this is text 44, you have performed extreme austerities for the welfare and growth of the world. My desire also is that everyone within this world be happy. I am therefore very pleased with you because you're endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world. So the Lord, when he wants the world to be run in a particular way, so when one cooperates with him, with the Lord, Krishna empowers that person and the Lord fulfills his desires through so many different living entities. This will be explained later. So that the creation can go on smoothly. And the creation has a purpose. So Prabhupada will explain that in his purport. Why does the creation take place in such a way? This is a little bit into the purport. Why does the creation take place in such a way that the living entities are put into conditioned life to suffer the threefold miseries imposed upon them by material nature? A very appropriate question. If God is the Supreme Lord and he's all powerful and he's the well-wisher of every living entity, why is there so much suffering? If he's all powerful, he could stop the suffering. So that means that he doesn't want to stop the suffering. And why doesn't he want to stop people from suffering? That means he's angry at them or something. Why is this? So what is the purpose? What is the nature of this creation? So why does the creation, Prabhupada asked the question in his purport, why does the creation take place if the Lord is in charge of it? And he says here he's wishing the welfare of all living entities. Why does it take place in such a way that everyone is suffering under the material nature? Miseries are imposed upon everyone. Here the Lord says to Daksha, you desire to benefit all living entities, and that is also my desire. The living entities who come in contact with the material world are meant to be corrected. All the living entities within this material world have revolted against the service of the Lord, and therefore they remain within this material world as ever conditioned, Nitya Buddha, taking birth again and again. There is a chance, of course, of their being liberated. But nevertheless, the conditioned souls, not taking advantage of this opportunity, continue in a life of sense enjoyment, and thus they are punished by birth and death again and again. This is the law of nature, as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayamiktan Trantite. This divine energy of mind, this is the very way that the world is set up. This is the laws of nature. This is nature. It is organized by the Lord. It is empowered by the Lord. It is unbreakable. That if one tries to enjoy, he has to get the reactions of his deeds. So this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So in material nature or cross beyond material nature, what is the difference? One tries to enjoy the material world, thinking that it is all meant for my pleasure, then one is in material nature and it is insurmountable. But if one rids himself of that attitude and surrenders, mame kam sharanam braja, savilamam pratyaja, giving himself with great devotion to the service of the Lord, mameva prapadyante, then mayametan tarantite, one surpasses material nature. Mamai vangso jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shashtan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity's struggle for existence within the material world is due to his rebellious nature. Unless a living entity surrenders to Krishna, he must continue this life of struggle. The Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada explains, is not a fad. It is a bona fide movement intended to promote the welfare of all conditioned souls by trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. If one does not come to this platform, he must continue in material existence perpetually, sometimes in the upper planets and sometimes in the lower planets. As confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kabu Swage Utaya Kabu Narake Dubaya, the conditioned soul sometimes descends into nescience and sometimes gets some relief by being relatively freed from it. This is the life of the conditioned soul. So we are Krishna's servants, our very nature. Mamai Vangso Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. This is our very nature. Jiva Srupoi Krishna Nitiras. This is who we are. Just like if someone asks you your name, so you have a first name and then a surname. The surname relates to your family name. So who we are in relationship. We don't exist independently. We exist in relationship to our family. That's who we are. We don't exist independently. Similarly, to try to define ourselves without our relationship with Krishna is incomplete. It's an incomplete definition of ourself. So we are Krishna's servants. Jivera Srupoi, Krishna Nityadas. Rebelling against that, we want to be the enjoyer as opposed to the servant, and therefore we are placed in material nature. Up and down in the material world. This is the life. Happiness, misery. This is the life of a conditioned soul. So Prabhupada continues. Prajapati Daksha is trying to benefit the conditioned souls by begetting them, to give them a life with a chance for liberation. Liberation means surrender to Krishna. If one begets children with the purpose of training them to surrender to Krishna, fatherhood is very good. Similarly, when the spiritual master trains the conditioned soul to become Krishna conscious, his position is successful. If one gives the conditioned soul the chance to become Krishna conscious, All his activities are approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely pleased, as stated here, prittoham. Following the example of the previous acharyas, all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement should try to benefit the conditioned souls by inducing them to become Krishna conscious and giving them all facilities to do so. Such activities constitute real welfare work. So as Daksha is doing something in the service of the Lord, and as the Lord is pleased with him, similarly, anyone who does something in the service of the Lord to help reclaim souls, whether it be big or whether it be little, if that is the intention to help awaken, reawaken the forgetful soul's Krishna consciousness, then the Lord is pleased. Prittoham, I am pleased. So Prabhupada is explaining that the Krishna purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to benefit the conditioned souls and trying to induce them to become Krishna conscious and giving them all facilities to do so. So that in one sentence defines the purpose of ISKCON. Such activities constitute real welfare work. By such activities, a preacher or anyone who endeavors to spread Krishna consciousness is recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu vidasyati bhaktim mayi param kritva mam vivasyatya samsaya nacha tasman manusheshu kaschin me priyokritama bhavata na cha me tasman anya priyataro bhuvi. For one who explains, quoting Krishna himself saying this in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So the Lord has told Daksha. He is very pleased with him for his attempt to do good for others. Text 45. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, and all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you, Prajapatis, who are increasing the population, are all working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, your expansions of my marginal energy. Are incarnations of my various qualities. And we'll read the next verse too, and go back to the purport. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my body. And spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitute my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. So Daksha has been included in that, the first verse we read, 45, he has been included in the list of great living entities who are working for the Lord, in the Lord's service, even though they are all marginal energy. It's a tasta shakti. They are jivas, binunansya. They are tiny souls. Still, the qualities of the Lord, the potency of the Lord, works through them, because Krishna himself wants certain things to be done in this world, and he doesn't do them himself, or rather he does them himself, but he does them through other living entities, and he empowers those living entities who want to serve him. So Prabhupada's purport, we'll read some of that. Although Prajapati Daksha is not on the same level as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who were mentioned in this verse, he is compared to them because he engages in the service of the Lord. In the service of the personality of Godhead, it is not that Lord Brahma is considered very great, while an ordinary human being trying to preach the glories of the Lord is considered very low. There is no such distinctions. Regardless of whether materially high or materially low, anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is spiritually very dear to him. In this regard, Madhvacharya gives this quotation from the Tantra Nirnyaya. There's two, and one from the Bhagavad Gita. We'll just read the English. From Lord Brahma down, all the living entities engaged in the service of the Lord are extraordinary and are called vibhuti. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a part of a spark of my splendor. A living entity especially empowered to act on behalf of the Lord is called vibhuti, whereas the Vishnu Tattva incarnations of the Lord, such as the Matsya avatar, are called vibhav. And then in the next verse, he says how the different religious activities which come from the Lord, which come from the Vedas, he says that these are, when they are properly executed, they are parts of my body and his mind. And then he says that the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. So this is the situation, that the living entities, including the demigods, when they engage in the Lord's service, they become so dear to the Lord, they become his life and soul. And the demigods are considered sakkam devotees. That means that they have material desires. So their devotion isn't on the highest of possible levels. But yet, the Lord says, they are my life and soul, because they're engaging, helping to engage living entities in welfare work, which is good for them. And the real welfare work, as was said, is to elevate someone in spiritual consciousness, to get them free from the material world. Text 47. So the Lord is saying, I am pleased with these living entities. And who is this Lord who's pleased? Text 47 begins, Aham eva sam eva gray, just like in the second canto. One of the seed verses of the Bhagavatam describes this, evam aham eva sam eva gray nanyat yat sarasat param kaschid aham yare tatsya yo visraheta something vibhu. How the Lord himself existed before everything. So the material creation is so important to him because it gives facilities to the living. It gives facilities to the living entities to advance in spiritual life, to gradually work their way back to Godhead. The purpose of the material world isn't to enjoy here, but it is to advance somehow or another, advance spiritually. So the Lord is the creator of the system. He empowers the living entities to help others advance, and he himself, as the creator, existed before the creation. So therefore this verse says, before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, I alone existed with my specific potencies. Consciousness was then unmanifest, just as one's consciousness is unmanifested during the time of sleep. Prabhupada's purport. The word aham indicates a person. As explained in the Vedas, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanananam, the Lord is the supreme eternal amongst innumerable eternals, and the supreme living being among the innumerable living beings. The Lord is a person who also has an impersonal feature, who also has impersonal features. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanti tat tatva vedas tatvam yajnanam adhyam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabhyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Consideration of the Paramatma and impersonal Brahman arose after the creation. Before the creation, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead existed, as firmly declared in Bhagavad Gita 18:55. The Lord can be understood as firmly declared in the Bhagavad Gita 18:55, but the Lord can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. The ultimate cause, the supreme cause of creation, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. He cannot be understood by speculative philosophical research or by meditation. Since all such processes came into existence after the material creation, the impersonal and localized conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated. The real spiritual process, therefore, is Bhakti Yoga. As the Lord says, Bhaktyamam abhijananti, only by devotional service can I be understood. Before the creation, the Lord existed as a person, as indicated here by the word aham. When Prajapati Daksha saw him as a person who was beautifully dressed and ornamented, he actually experienced the meaning of this word aham through devotional service. Aham, of course, means I. So the Lord says, I, aham, evasam, evagre, I existed. He's a person standing before Daksha and he's saying, I existed. So what is the question of the Absolute Supreme being ultimately impersonal when the Lord is standing there in a personal form saying, I did this, I did that, all the energies, all consciousness were not yet manifest, everything was wound up in me, all the potencies were there, I, he's standing there like that. So how could anyone say that the ultimate is an impersonal when the Lord himself is saying that he's a person and he is the one who existed prior? So one can understand that person through bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijananti. Each person is eternal. Because the Lord says that he existed as a person before the creation, agre, and will also exist after the annihilation, the Lord is a person eternally. So in the past, before the creation, he existed as a person. During the creation, at this point, he's existing as a person. And after the annihilation, he's also a person. So what is... Because the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, they say that we are all the Supreme. We are all the Supreme, which is completely everything and impersonal. And what keeps us from that is illusion, which exists during the creation. Just like a pot of water keeps the water separate from the ocean. When that pot crumbles, the water again becomes the ocean. So similarly, when the pot of our false identity with the body crumbles, we again become, our consciousness expands into everything. But before the creation, before that means before we had material bodies, we were still his energy. This is what he said. We existed as persons and he existed as a person. And after the creation and during the creation, we exist as persons and he exists as persons. So this impersonal philosophy is inaccurately stated to say that the ultimate realization is impersonal. Rather, as Prabhupada explains here, that impersonal realization, that impersonal aspect of the Lord also exists. But the personal aspect is the ultimate. Vedanti tattvavedas. Tattva means jnanam adhyam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti sabhi. Continue with the next verse here. 48. The Lord continues. I existed before, everything comes, I exist now, and everything will ultimately be wound up within me. This is God, the source of everything, the Supreme Creator. Not that we can become God. We are not the source of anything, and we cannot create anything. We cannot create universes. So he continues, the Lord continues defining himself, because God is unknowable. But when he defines himself, when he talks about himself, then and only then can we know who he is and what his characteristics are. So he's talking about himself. I am the reservoir of unlimited potency. Unlimited potency. That concept is inconceivable to us. Because we are finite. Finite means limited. We can only conceive of something finite. We cannot conceive of unlimited infinite potency. But the Lord, a person, says, I have that. Unlimited potency. And therefore, he says, I am known as unlimited or all-pervading, ananta. From my material energy, the cosmic manifestation appears within me. And in this universal manifestation appeared the chief being, Lord Brahma, who is your source and is not born of a material mother. So he's saying that I am the source of this creation. I am the source of the creators. I am that Lord whom everything comes from. And I have unlimited energies. When the chief Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice. In accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. So Daksha was one of those created originally by Lord Brahma. Here's Prabhupada's short purport to this verse. Nothing is possible without tapasya, austerity. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. So it's not exactly the austerities that give us power, but when we perform austerities to please the Lord, he is pleased, and then he gives by his mercy. He empowers a living entity. Therefore, Rishabdev advised his sons to po dibyam putrakayena satvam shudhyet. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position in devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. In our material existence, we are impure. What does impure mean? It means that we are selfish. We are thinking that we can enjoy ourselves, and we are full of so many desires and plans. This is impurity. This is the mud within the water. And because of these material contaminations, we cannot see clearly or accurately. So when tapasya or austerities are performed, activities are performed to please Krishna, not necessarily because they please us, not thinking that we are the center of existence, but accepting Krishna as the center of existence and accepting our position as his servant, and our natural consciousness to please him, that is called Bhagavad Dharma, and those activities are actually tapasya or austerities, activities done to please him. So one should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. And Prabhupada himself was a great example of a tapasi, one who performed incredible tapasya's austerities, and he did something wonderful by the Lord's grace. He did something more than wonderful. He did something that was practically speaking impossible, his spreading of Krishna consciousness so powerfully throughout the world. But he performed austerities to do it. And those austerities, by Krishna's grace, empowered him so greatly. He never stopped. He never stopped with his attempt to preach and to spread the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. So the Lord is saying, Daksha, you've been created. I existed alone, had my desires in the material world, my desires to create the material world for the purpose of benefiting the living entities. And in the beginning, I existed alone. And in the beginning of the creation, I created Brahma, who created 9 personalities. And you are one of them, Daksha. And those personalities, their purpose was to help him in the function of creation in my service. And that's what you want to do. And you've said these Hansakuya prayers to evoke my mercy so you can perform your service in my service. Text 51. My dear son Daksha, Prajapati Panchajana has a daughter named Asikni, whom I offer to you so that you may accept her as your wife. Now unite in sexual life as man and woman, and in this way, by sexual intercourse, you'll be able to beget hundreds of children and the womb of this girl to increase the population. I'll complete the chapter and then read that purport to Prabhupada, an important purport. After you give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and will engage like you in sexual intercourse. But because of my mercy to you and them, they will also be able to give me presentations in devotion. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after the creator of the entire universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, had spoken in this way in the presence of Prajapati Daksha, he immediately disappeared as if he were an object experienced in a dream. So that's the final verse in this chapter. So we've heard here that Daksha is being instructed on the Lord on how to perform his service of populating the world. And that will give birth to many children who will also populate the world still further. But interestingly enough, the Lord says, you and them, because of your desires, sexual desires, you are still in the illusory energy. But yet, even though you are not pure, because you have material attachments, despite that, you'll be able to give me offerings and devotion. So this is basically called karma yoga. When one has desires, not fully surrendered, not pure, anya bilasita sunyam jnana kamarana vita, anukulena krishnana shilanam bhakta uttamam, that is pure devotional service. No desires whatsoever, only desires to please Krishna. But Daksha and his progeny will have desires, but yet they still want to please Krishna. So how to do this? By making presentations. They will also, as you, because of my mercy to you and them, they will also be able to give me presentations in devotion. So this is the way out of the puzzle. What to do if one has material desires but still wants to please the Lord? And the answer is this karma yoga. And that means working according to our desires, but making presentations to the Lord to please Him, as Daksha did. Knowing that He is the Lord and I am tiny and insignificant. But please, may you be pleased by this. This is my desire, to please you ultimately. So that ends the chapter, but let me read the previous purport when the Lord said He gave him a wife, and you will, through this wife, you will have hundreds of children and increase the population. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that Daksha, was given the facility for unlimited sexual intercourse. In Daksha's previous life, he was also known as Daksha. But in the course of performing sacrifices, he offended Lord Shiva, and thus his head was replaced with that of a goat. Then Daksha gave up his life because of his degraded condition. But because he maintained the same unlimited sexual desires, he underwent austerities by which he satisfied the Supreme Lord, who then gave him unlimited potency for sexual intercourse. It should be noted that although such a facility for sexual intercourse is achieved by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this facility is not offered to advanced devotees who are free from material desires. Anyabhilasita sunyam. In this connection, it may be noted that if the American boys and girls engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement want to advance in Krishna consciousness to achieve the supreme benefit of loving service to the Lord, they should refrain from indulging in this facility for sex life. Therefore, and obviously Prabhupada is not only speaking of the American boys and girls, he's talking about everyone. Therefore, we advise that one should at least refrain from illicit sex. Even if there are opportunities for sex life, one should voluntarily accept the limitation of having sex only for progeny, not for any other purpose. Kodama Muni was also given the facility for sex life, but he had only a slight desire for it. Therefore, after begetting children in the womb of Devahuti, Kodama Muni became completely renounced. The purport is that if one wants to return home back to Godhead, one should voluntarily refrain from sex life. Sex should be accepted only as much as needed, not unlimitedly. So very important, because it's so against the contemporary cultural civilization, which makes that the highest and practically the purpose of existence. But it is actually the shackles of material existence. The shackles, the bars that keep us in the material world, because that it places us in the position of I am the enjoyer, I am the center. So if we do wish to advance spiritually, we have to be careful in dealing with the material energy in this fashion. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we'll continue with the next chapter, begin chapter 5, hearing more about Prajapati Daksha, after what happens after he sees the Lord. Quite an amazing story. Any questions or comments?
And the purport, we read out that the Lord could only be known by acting and not by the process of Lord Dhyana, etc.
Yes.
That was attained being after the creation. So that's a principle. So on that principle, is it possible to become a completely pure devotee, like liberated, without one's conception having taken place under the inspiration of the Lord?
I can't follow
the principle that processes which were created after creation.
Yes, were created. We can even just say that.
Yeah. So that seems to under the principle of creation.
You may be, but I can't understand it anyway, whether you're stretching it or not.
Those processes were.
Well, here's why. Because there's no end. See, bhakti is a means, but it's also the goal. It's an eternal position. Love for Krishna is an eternal position. One could be in the spiritual world and love Krishna, but one wouldn't be in the spiritual world and practice jnana or yoga, because those are only meant for the living entities as a means to get out of the material world. They're not ends in themselves. So in that sense, they're created.
I couldn't think of any example in the Shastra of someone who wasn't a pure devotee becoming liberated in one lifetime. So it seems that, and I remember reading that Srila Prabhupada, I think it's in Bhagavad Gita, that to be a pure devotee of the Lord, one has to have pure devotee parents and also the mercy of the Lord.
I never read that one has to have pure devotee parents.
I'll find
that. Yeah, especially in the Bhagavad Gita. I never read it anywhere. Yeah. So what's... Is it a comment or a question?
It just seems that because I can't think of any examples of in the Shastras of anyone getting the liberation in my lifetime.
How about Dhruva Maharaj?
Except then.
Hey, wait a second. You can't say that.
Even then.
What?
Except then.
So there's no one lifetime anyway. Narada Muni.
It was two lifetimes.
But there's no one has one lifetime anyway. So you can't get liberation in one lifetime because you don't have one lifetime. It's a continuum. You mean from the moment one comes in contact with a pure devotee, it's impossible to do it in one lifetime? That doesn't make sense. How about mercy? Well, everyone has at least, but how about before that even, everyone has so many lives that puts them in a situation where you can get mercy.
Well, they come back for the Leela. They are the Lord always, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj.
Prahlad Maharaj, what was, in his previous life, in the Sringa Purana, it describes that he fasted by accident on the Sringa Chaturdasi. So that gave him a start. That was some Agyata Sukriti. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.